بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, once again we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make abundant shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given us another opportunity to sit and listen to some discourse of deen that will bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala, inshallah. We had been discussing in the past, I think, 6 programs, Monday majlises, anecdotes, selected anecdotes, malfuzat of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali, which were loaded with wisdom, very inspiring, a lot of guidance, nasihat, very simple, but extremely beneficial. And many people had mentioned that they had found tremendous benefit in it. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. May Allah Ta'ala help us to bring these teachings and these guidelines in our lives so that we may become better Muslims. We may become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may have a good akhlaq. We may have a soft heart. We become human beings in the true sense of the word. Inshallah, we will continue today, but not from the anecdotes of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Inshallah, as time goes, we will give malfuzat of many of our elders. But we will mention a few incidents and some stories of the people of the past, the sages of the past. Before we commence that, what's the purpose of listening to malfuzat, anecdotes? Someone asked the same question to Hazrat Abul Qasim Junaid Rahmatullah Ali. Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali was asked, Hazrat, what benefit do the Murideen derive from the stories of the Awliya? What benefit do the Murideen derive from the stories of the Awliya? He said, stories of the Awliya are one of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are these anecdotes, these malfuzat that we read, we hear, they are in fact one of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hearts of the Murideen derive strength and peace from these anecdotes. So those who listen attentively and listen to these stories of the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are from the time of Rasulullah SAW, the Sahaba Ikram, the Tabi'een, and he carries on. The hearts of the Murideen, those who are listening, those who are treading the path of Suluk, those who are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is a Murid? Murid is a person who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the Murad. Allah is the object. Allah is our goal. So in the real sense of the word, a Murid is, or a Salik, is a terminology in Tasawuf, which simply means one who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, then it has been used for a person who takes bayat to a sheikh. Now, because the sheikh is a means of guiding the person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore it has become more used than the word murid for a person who is a disciple of a sheikh. A sheikh is a mentor. But the real meaning of a murid is a person who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made irada to reach Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah Ta'ala make us true murideen and reach our goal, Allah Rabbul Izzat. The questioner asks for proof of this claim, because Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi said that the stories of the awliya are one of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hearts of the murideen derive strength and peace from these anecdotes. So the question asks, I need some proof. As the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah said, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, every episode which we narrate to you from the stories of the messengers, we strengthen therewith your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned different stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu salam in the Quran. Adam alayhi salatu salam story, Musa alayhi salam incident. So many Anbiya's have been mentioned. وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we strengthen your hearts. We strengthen your hearts by mentioning the different episodes and incidents in the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. So this was the proof that when a person listens to anecdotes, malfuzat, waaz, nasihat, sayings, advices of the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya Allah, then what happens? He will gain some strength, his heart will become strengthened, and he'll derive some peace, some sukoon from these anecdotes. So what is the effect of waaz and nasihat? I think I mentioned this last week, but we'll repeat it. He says, Abu Sulaiman Dharani Ramatullah narrated, I attended a waaz, nasihat. Some person was giving a talk. He said, the talk of the lecturer had an effect on my heart. He was impressed. He was inspired. I attended his bayan. He says, so it had an effect on my heart. However, the effect disappeared as soon as the lecture ended. Moment akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thus, the effect was finished. So he said, I attended his bayan the second time. The effect of his talk lingered with me, even on the road as he was leaving home for home, but disappeared by the time I reached home. He said, I attended his waaz for the third time. The effect endured even after I had reached home. I then destroyed all objects of sin I had and then took to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one should repeatedly sit in the company of the ulama. The nasihat of the shaykh will ultimately establish a lasting effect, provided that one is a sincere seeker of the haqq, the truth. If a person is genuine, he's sincere, and he wants to get haqq, the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never deprive him. Allah will never deprive him. Allah will create different means for this person to come onto that path of haqq and truth. What do we understand from this? That just by listening to one bayan, it is not sufficient. If you listen to it a second, a third, a fourth time, after listening to talks of deen, those talks especially that takes us closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat, make us realize our object in this world, and the harms and the consequences of sin, of guna, then what will happen? Then the person, after listening several times, it will have an impact on his heart. It will have an effect on his heart. And then the person will gain the courage and the himmat, as this person writes, I then destroyed all objects of sin I had, and I took to the path of Allah Rabbul Izzat. This is a famous saying in Arabic, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ تَقَرَّرَ. When something is repeated, then it settles down deep into the heart. Just by listening one or two talks, this is not going to be sufficient. And therefore we have to continue every now and then. We could have programs every week, we could have programs. So that by listening to these things repeatedly, then we become affected, inshallah. It is mentioned when episodes of the awliya are narrated, تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةُ عِنْدَ ذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ. This is in Arabic, the saying that Allah's rahmat descends when the name and the mentioning of awliya are taken, names of awliya are taken. In other words, when the incidents of these pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are narrated, Allah's rahmat descends on that gathering. Love for the awliya. According to Shaykh Arif Abu Turab, rahmatullahi alayhi, when the heart of a man turns away from Allah Ta'ala, when the heart of a man turns away from Allah Ta'ala, in consequence of his addiction to disobedience and transgression, so because the person disobeyed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he violated the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he lived a life full of transgression, disobedience, the consequence of that was now that his heart turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this happens, then he makes the awliya a target for criticism. And we see this very, very common. We will pick on all the awliya of Allah. We see that buzrug is like this, and that sheikh is like this. We will pick on their faults, not realizing that this is a consequence of what? When we have ourselves lived a life full of guna and ma'asiyat. And now our heart is turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we will actually begin to criticize the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for the awliya is a sign of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for the awliya is a sign of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, animosity for the awliya Allah. As Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated that Rasulullah SAW said, verily Allah ta'ala has mentioned, he who harbors animosity, enmity for my wali, I declare war upon him. There are two occasions that I can recall from Quran and Hadith where Allah ta'ala declares war on any person. One is when a person indulges in riba, in interest transactions. Allah says, announce war from Allah ta'ala to him. Person who is indulging in interest, that Allah declares war upon that person. And the other one, man adali waliyan, faqad adantuhu bilharb. Whoever has animosity, hatred, for any of my friends, Allah says, that I declare war upon such a person. So look how harmful it is when a person has animosity for the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our job is to worry about ourselves and try and change and rectify our lives rather than criticizing every other person, and not just normal people, but even criticize the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an incident here of how hidayat comes to an idolater. Person who's worshipping idols, how hidayat came to him. Sheikh Abu Wahid bin Zayd rahmatullah alayhi narrates that once the ship in which he was sailing was caught in a storm. The stormy waves buffeted the rudderless ship. At last it reached a deserted island. After disembarking, they found a man worshipping an idol. Sheikh Abu Wahid rahmatullah tells him, your object of worship is not the creator. On the contrary, it is itself a created object. He's worshipping an idol. He said, your object of worship is not the creator. In fact, it is itself a created object, while the being whom we worship is the creator of all objects. So this person then who was worshipping the idols, he said, whom do you worship? So the Shaykh mentioned, the being whose throne is in the heaven. The being whose throne is in the heaven, whose control is on the entire earth. His power extends over all the living and the dead. His name is glorious. He's almighty, all-powerful. So the idolater asks, how do you know this? The Shaykh replies, that true king sent his true messenger to us, and he guided us. So then this person asks, where is that messenger? The Shaykh replied, after he had accomplished his mission for which he was sent, the creator called him back. The idolater says, did that messenger leave with you any sign? He says, yes, he left behind the book of Allah. So the idolater says, show it to me. After showing him the Quran Sharif, he said, I do not know how to read it. Read it for me. Shaykh Abu Wahid rahmatullah recited a surah. The idolater was so touched that he cried profusely. Then he says, the command of the being whose speech this is should be wholeheartedly obeyed. Never should he be disobeyed in any way. This is when hidayat comes to a person. He had no iman. Now iman comes into him, and what does he say? The command of such a being whose speech this is, should be wholeheartedly obeyed. Never should he be disobeyed in any way. He thus embraced Islam. Shaykh Abu Wahid continues, he says, we taught him the basics of the deen and a few surahs. So when a person embraces Islam, before embracing Islam, we would teach him what is iman all about. Iman al-mufassal, iman al-mujmal, belief in Allah, the angels, the books, Jannah, Jahannam, etc. Qiyamah, Resurrection, Ba'ath, Ba'd al-Mawt. And then when a person embraces Islam, teach him the basics of deen. Now you don't start forcing him to learn Quran, Tajweed, basic, whatever he can read. Initially, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, whatever it is. Teach him Taharat, teach him Salat, and a few surahs. When night fell, we all went to sleep. He said, brothers, does the Ma'bud, means the person who is that Allah, who is being worthy of being worshipped, the one who is being worshipped, about whom you have informed me, does he also sleep?
We told him, no, Allah Ta'ala does not sleep. He's perpetually alive and awake. So this river then said, what evil servants you are. Your master remains awake, but you go and sleep. So he says, we were truly amazed by his talks. And you find, in most cases, when a person genuinely accepts Islam, and he's sincere, you will find that his life is totally different from our lives who were born Muslims. We take deen very casually. They take deen very seriously. For them, it's either yes or no. We'll still make some excuses. We'll make some interpretations. But for them, it either is jais or not jais. After a few days, when we decided to continue our voyage, he said, brothers, take me along with you. We agreed. At last, we reached Abadan. I said to my companions, we should assist our brother Muslim. We made a collection amongst us, presented some money to him. When we did this, he exclaimed, you are indeed very strange people. You guided me to the straight path, but you have strayed from it. I am truly astonished. When I used to worship the idol, when I did not know Allah, he never destroyed me. He always cared for me. Why will he now abandon me after I have recognized him and now I am worshipping him? So he did not accept the money. 3 days later, someone informed me that a new Muslim was dying. I visited him and asked him if he needed anything. He said, I did nothing. The being who had brought you to the island has fulfilled all my needs. Shaykh Abdul Wahid Rahmatullah Ali, after some time he falls asleep and he sees a dream. He says, I saw a luxurious, dense orchard in which was a domed structure. Seated on a resplendent throne inside the mansion was a young damsel of stunning beauty. She said, for Allah's sake, send the new Muslim quickly. I'm extremely restless in his separation. My eyes opened. I saw that he had already undertaken the journey of the Akhirah. He had passed away. May Allah's mercy be on him. I gave him ghusl, kafan, buried him. That night I saw in a dream the same orchard and mansion. Seated on the throne at the side of the damsel was the new Muslim. He was reciting, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. The Malaika will come to them from every door saying, peace upon you on account of your patience. Indeed, wonderful is the abode of the Akhirah. So we see when a person gains hidayat, when he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah ta'ala blesses the person. What a beautiful maut the person gets. And basharat, people see in the dream, what a great reward he has in the akhirat. The effect of dhikr. A shaykh was saved by Allah ta'ala when he was overwhelmed by the love of a beautiful woman. Person was overwhelmed by the beauty of some woman, but he refrained from falling into her trap. Immediately he turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala saved him. That night he sees Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in a dream. The shaykh in the dream said, O Nabi of Allah, may Allah ta'ala keep your eyes cool. Allah ta'ala saved you from Zulaykha. In response, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, O blessed one, may Allah keep your eyes cool. You have been saved from the woman of the tribe of Asfan. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam then recited very softly the following verse, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Verily, for the one who fears the rank of Allah, or the standing before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, there will be two orchards for him. Abu Zur commented, a man cannot save himself from the snares of the nafs by his own efforts. He is saved by the aid of Allah Ta'ala from the evil of the nafs. And therefore, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. So it is only through the rahm, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person is saved from the snares of the nafs. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was ma'asum, committed no sins. But to teach the ummah, he would seek protection in Allah from the shar, from the evil of his nafs. So a person who he saved from the snares of the nafs, must make shukr that Allah's rahmat was upon him. Seek comfort from Allah. Do not attempt to seek comfort without Allah. Whoever derives comfort from Allah has been saved. Whoever sought comfort by abandoning Allah was destroyed. The heart derives rest in the dhikr of Allah. Searching for rest besides Allah is a sign of a perpetual ghaflat. Shaykh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ali Tirmidhi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the dhikr of Allah moistens the heart. It cultivates tenderness in the heart. When the heart is bereft of dhikrullah, the heat of the nafs overtakes it. It's a very important point. When there's no dhikr, a person is not making any dhikr, the heart is devoid of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the heat of the nafs overtakes it. The fire of lust reaches it. Person then becomes a slave of shahwat. The heart becomes barren and hard. All the limbs refrain from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see the importance of making dhikrullah, of course. Making dhikrullah of Allah ta'ala with full devotion and with khushu and khudu. Then it has such a great effect on the heart. Some other buzurg mentioned, lamentable is the condition of the person who goes through numerous difficulties and hardships, traveling through the wilderness to reach his family at his home. Person has to reach his family, he'd gone on some journey, and he has to go through so much of difficulties, hardships. He has to catch this train, take that plane, and take that, go by boat, and take that road. Finally, just to reach his family at home. But he does not cut asunder his nafsani desires to reach the heart in which the signs of Allah, of his friend, that is Allah Ta'ala, are manifest. Shaykh Abu Turab, rahmatullah Ali, used to say, whoever turns away from Allah Ta'ala, after being engrossed with him, in other words, in his remembrance, he will immediately become involved in the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah gives us tawfiq of making dhikr, of attending some program, reading of salat in the masjid, making some tilawat. Now, after all that, we still then move away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are asking for the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. May Allah ta'ala accept our dhikr, may Allah ta'ala accept our sitting and listening to waaz and nasihat that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala must give us tawfiq of making amal. Many times we have the question about rizq and rozi, and in this incident we will see how rizq comes to this person. One Shaykh Abu Yaqub Basri rahmatullah Ali remained in i'tikaf for 10 days in Haram Sharif. He did not get a single morsel of food all this time. Obviously he was very hungry. So finally hunger and weakness overcame him. He set out with the intention of obtaining some food. When he came to some deserted place, it was in the desert, he saw a decaying turnip lying on the ground. As he picked it up, a fear settled in his heart. It was as if someone was rebuking and taunting him. After starving for 10 days, your reward is a rotten turnip? Shaykh Yaqub rahmatullah Ali threw away the turnip, went to Masjid al-Haram. After some time, a man appears. Placing a bag in front of Shaykh Yaqub rahmatullah Ali, the man said, this bag contains 500 ashrafis, gold coins. It is for you. Shaykh Yaqub asked, why is it especially for me? The man said, I was on a voyage for 10 days. The boat was about to sink. Everyone in the boat made a pledge to Allah Ta'ala, vowing to give some sadaqah if he was saved. I vow to give 500 ashrafis to the very first person by the Kaaba on whom my eyes fell. Shaykh Yaqub opens the bag. And when the bag was opened, instead of ashrafis, it contained some delicious varieties of food. The coins were transformed into food. Shaykh Yaqub ate from them, from the food, and he instructed the man to distribute the remainder amongst his children. Shaykh Yaqub rahmatullah Ali used to say, said to himself, O nafs, your rizq was coming towards you since the last 10 days, while you went in search of it into the wilderness. He went into the desert to look for some food, but his rozi was coming to him. And Allah Ta'ala made this arrangement for him, that it came to him in this form. Yes, we have to make an effort. We have to make an effort for our rozi. person must have the need to earn halal, tayyib, rozi. Allah Ta'ala then pours his sustenance to him. But we should make such an effort that we become so engrossed and we go throughout the world looking for our sustenance when Allah Ta'ala was going to give it to us so easily. The divine love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Abu Bakr rahmatullah alayhi says, I was once in Makkah Mu'azzama in the company of a group of Sufiyai Kiram. Some pious people were sitting, he was also with them. They were discussing the question of Allah Ta'ala's love. When pious people get together, what do they talk about? Allah Ta'ala's love. The youngest of the group was Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi. So the Sufis urged him to speak on this question. Alright, tell us what you have to say about Allah Ta'ala's love. Everybody had given their explanation. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah lowered his head and shed tears profusely. Then he said, a lover is such a servant whose ego has been eliminated. A lover of Allah Ta'ala is such a servant whose ego, his nafs, has been eliminated. He is absorbed in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. He fulfills the rights of Allah Ta'ala. He looks with his heart towards Allah Ta'ala. The rays of divine fear have consumed his heart. The cup of wine of divine love is for him. From behind the unseen veils, Allah has become manifest to him. He won't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he'll feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. When he speaks with Allah, meaning he'll speak haqq, he'll speak the truth. He'll be guided in his speech. When he moves, he does so with Allah's command. When he rests so with Allah Ta'ala's command. He is constantly with Allah Ta'ala. He exists with Allah Ta'ala and he is in Allah Ta'ala's companionship. All the mashayikh shed tears in abundance and said, can anyone say anything more superb? O Tajul Arifin, they gave him the title of crown of the awliya. May Allah increase your intelligence and wisdom. Now these pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they lived such a pure, clean, chaste life, they had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had taqwa, therefore you will see such things coming out from their tongues. Such things that will inspire the hearts of so many people. A whole day and night, we are only worried about our businesses, about dunya. Well, our family also is only dunya. Either we're complaining, moaning and groaning. We are not content. We're not making shukr. How much of Allah Ta'ala do we speak at home? How much of Allah Ta'ala do we remember? When we're on a voyage, we're on some journey, do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's see what lessons a person gets from a slave. One buzurg says, after I purchased a slave, I asked his name. He replied, my name is whatever you call me. I said, what work will you do? He said, whatever task you impose upon me. I said, what food you like to have? He said, whatever you feed me. I said, what does your heart wish for? He said, what can a slave wish for in the presence of his master? His master is everything for him. Whatever his master will feed him, he'll eat. Whatever clothing his master will give him, he'll wear. Whatever his master gives him, that is sufficient for him. I broke down crying. Buzurg says, I broke down crying. I reflected and thought of the relationship I should have with my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said to the slave, oh my friend, you have imparted adab and respect to me. You have taught me adab. What adab I should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make us true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what when we hear about ishq and muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. That the person day and night, nothing else in front of him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if we just engross and absorb in dunya, then the last words will be like this person who was a businessman, completely ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unable to recite the kalima at the time of his mouth. Only business transactions were on his tongue. He would repeatedly say, was he dealing with fodder? He would say, one more bale of fodder, one more bale of fodder. Sheikh was present, said to his murid, he said, La ilaha illallah in abundance, so that you will readily recite this kalima when mouth arrives. just as this man recited his business statements, which were his lifelong occupation. So if we make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, the entirety, la ilaha illallah, as much as possible, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, inshallah, at mouth also, the same kalima will come out. But whole day, we only are talking figures, and big deals we are making all the time, these are the only things that will come out of our tongue. Allah Ta'ala save us. A man whose practice it was to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance, he passed away whilst continuously reciting the Quranic ayat, Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Quran, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa, ila akhir al-ayat, where Allah Ta'ala says, a man will die in the state which he had spent his life. Well, Allah Ta'ala had mentioned these verses about Taha. And then the explanation is given that a man will die in the state which he had spent his life. He will also be resurrected in Qiyamah in the state which he had died upon. We should make dua that Allah Ta'ala should grant us the tawfiq to die on the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and in peace, in the condition of afiyat, in the condition that Allah Ta'ala is most happy with us. If Allah Ta'ala is happy with us, then we are successful. We'll terminate with just one more. We have many sisters listening also. So there were many, we talk about buzrugs, not only men buzrugs. There were many females in this ummah who were great walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the name of Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayhi. Like that, there were so many others. There's one woman, her name was Sittul Muluk. Sittul Muluk rahmatullahi alayha was a famous wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was a very saintly lady. She lived in Arabia. During her time, all the awliya and ulama would greatly honor her. Once she was in Baytul Muqaddas. At that time, there was a buzuk by the name of Ali bin Abbas, Yamani rahmatullahi alayh. So he narrates, he says, I was inside the masjid when I saw a pillar of nur extending from the dome of the masjid right into the heaven. So I went outside to investigate what is all this about. When he came within the vicinity, he saw that under the dome or very nearby was Hazrat Sittul Muluk rahmatullahi alayha. And she was engrossed in salat outside and the pillar of nur was emanating from her. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi writes, he comments, he says, this pillar of nur was a nur of taqwa, which is in the hearts of all the muttaqeen. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes it manifest to show others. But the actual abode of this nur is the heart. Be firm in righteousness and abstain from transgression. So this was a woman and this was her maqam. We find that the awliya Allah had lofty states. The maqam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very great. Somebody saw Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi in a dream. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was walking very proudly. The companion, his disciple asked him, O Imam, why this proudful strut? Why are you walking with such pride? Imam Ahmad Rahman said, this is the style of Allah's servants in akhirat, in jannat, not in dunya. In dunya, they walk with humility. Now, Allah Ta'ala has given them such honor, such dignity in the akhirat, they will walk with great dignity. This person then asks, what treatment did Allah Ta'ala mete out to you? Imam Ahmad rahmatullah says, Allah Ta'ala forgave me. I was given shoes of gold. This is all in a dream. He said, I was given shoes of gold to wear. It was said that this was the reward for saying that the Quran is the uncreated word of Allah Ta'ala. This was a very big masala in Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah's time, where he explained to the people the Quran was Kalamullah. It was the uncreated word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And others said it was the created word of Allah. It was a big academic discussion. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah was on haqq, he was on the correct, and the others were on wrong. And there's a very lengthy incident how he was imprisoned and how he was lashed and how he passed away. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, we will discuss this. So he said, because I was steadfast on that masala and I spoke the truth, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with shoes made of gold. I was given freedom to wander anywhere in Jannat now. I saw Sufyan Thawri, Rahmatullahi. Now, these are all pious people. Inshallah, as we listen to the names, then we'll pick up some kitab and see these names and will have a great effect on our hearts. I saw Sufyan Thawri, Rahmatullahi, with two green wings flying from tree to tree, reciting the verse, Alhamdulillahi alladhi sadaqana wa'adah wa awrathana al-awd natabawwa'u min al-jannati haythuna sha' fa ni'ma ajru al-amilin. Allah, all praises for Allah, who has fulfilled His promise to us, who has made us the heirs of Jannat. We enter any place we wish. Indeed, wonderful is the reward for those who practice righteousness. So this companion, the person who is seeing this dream, asked, what about Abdul Wahid Warraq, Rahmatullahi? Imam Ahmad Rahmatullahi says, I left him while he was on board a ship of Noor, in the sea of Noor, in the divine presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person says, what is the state of Bishr bin Harith Rahmatullahi? Imam Ahmad bin Hamad Rahmatullahi says, who can be like him? I saw him in Allah's presence. Allah was focusing his attention to him. Allah Ta'ala said, you would not eat in the world, now eat. You would not drink, drink now. You was not happy, be happy now. A Buzurg said, I saw Ma'ruf Karkhi Rahmatullahi in a dream. He was below the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said to the Malaika, who is this? They said, oh Allah, you are away, you know more. Allah said, this is Ma'ruf Karkhi, who was annihilated in my love. He will not regain consciousness without my vision. Another great Buzurg said that I saw Imam Shafi Rahmatullah in a dream after he passed away. I inquired about his state. He said, I was seated on a throne of Noor and glittering pearls cascaded over me. A Buzurg saw Sheikh Abu Ishaq Ibrahim Rahmatullah, Shirazi Rahmatullah, in a dream after his demise. The Sheikh was clad in exceedingly white garment, had a splendid crown on his head. I asked, why are you wearing white garments? Sheikh Abu Ishaq Rahman said, this is the holiness of ibadat, and the crown is the honor of ilmideen knowledge. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with such lofty maqamat in the akhirat. But of course, to gain that maqam, to gain those lofty status, one has to make that mujahada. These people gave their lives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. They had placed in front of them the Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, the seerat of Rasulullah SAW, the life, the beautiful way of life of Rasulullah SAW, the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. They had in front of them the life of Sahaba Ikram. And they emulated these beautiful way of life and these teachings. And they had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realized they are going to be in this world for a couple of days only. And true success only in the akhirat. Therefore it was easy for them to make that effort, because they had that goal in front of them all the time. And they would remind themselves, the moment they became or lost track, immediately they will come back onto track, because they had the goal in front of them. And this is what we require, to have our object in front of us. If we are murideen, then we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our goal. Then all the time remind ourselves in our dealings, in our eating, in our sleeping at home, in our social activities, in our wedding functions, in all our functions, in the masjid, outside the masjid, in our businesses, in our schools, in our madrasas, in our institutions. All the time remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know when we will leave this world, what condition we will leave this world. Imagine these people, what honor Allah gave them. When they left this world with honor and dignity. And in the akhirat, already people are seeing, people saw in the dreams of what lofty status Allah Ta'ala had given them. Of course, in the akhirat, they'll get much more than this. This is just a glimpse to show the people in the world that if you live a life of taqwa and piety, this is how Allah Ta'ala will honor you. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.